Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics. From our Jefferson City offices of the Missouri Times on the last few days of session, we are joined by two of the leading members of both chambers. We'll start with the House. Representative Dan Houts Warrensburg, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Scott.
And Representative Ashley Bland Manlove from Kansas City, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Let's start off with a topic I think it's kind of monopolized the last month of session, Medicaid expansion. So let me walk through it. The voters voted for it.
Correct.
But there was, by all honesty, even in the supporters, they said there's no funding mechanism tied to it. Mm-hmm. So the legislature decided not to fund it. Now, my assumption is you do not agree with the legislature's decision.
That would be correct. This is actually the first time, I guess Medicaid, the medical marijuana one had, because we had to designate like where the funds went. But outside of that, I really haven't noticed a funding mechanism in any other initiative petition. I think that that's a bit of a stretch.
It's a bit of a technicality, right?
Yeah.
But it looks like that while the governor was supported, I think the Senate would have supported it. The House affected the budget process. Been a rough 2 years for the House on the budget, but this time the House really made itself known by saying we're not doing Medicaid, and the Senate followed.
And now it'll have to go to the court, and then I feel like that can be flipped on the court.
Now it's so it went from the House to the Senate to the governor. Now it'll go to Chuck Hatfield and Lowell Pearson, right?
Yeah.
So the court said. Representative, it does feel like it's a bit of a technicality.
It does, but you know, the Western Court of Appeals did say that you don't have to fund it. They did say that. You know, I took an oath of office to uphold the Missouri Constitution when I was elected or sworn in. And, you know, it's very clear that to me in black and white right there that if there's no funding mechanism, we don't have to fund it.
So break it down for me, though. You could afford it this year. You're a businessman. You're one of the rare Republicans anymore that aren't a businessman. Do you believe, people come on my show and they say, oh, Medicaid's going to pay for itself the first year. And I'd be like, now hold on. Now, I could see Medicaid pay for it itself 3-5 years out, right? At least being revenue neutral.
Right.
The first year, I didn't believe that. Obviously, that wasn't the case. It's not revenue neutral. But do you have enough money now to float it, and would this not be a good time to do that?
Well, I don't sit on the budget, so I'm going to start there.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that there's probably some dollars that if we need to fund it, and of course, you know, the House did set aside $500 million underneath the treasurer in case the court case loses, so the money is there if we need to enact
that. This would be a pretty prudent decision. I mean, if not, you've got a great nest egg you can put somewhere. But you did plan for if the courts do go the other way. That seemed to me to be a good way, almost being like Solomon, right? You were splitting that was a good decision. If you're not going to fund Medicaid, at least you're not going to be liable for a big bill at the end of the year.
Correct. And also, my district back home didn't vote for it. You know, very few counties voted for it that passed.
So break that down, though. I mean, I always felt like people said, well, they didn't know what they were voting for. Well, if that logic never applies to a state representative talking about his own election, right? When it comes down to it, I think I've never seen a public policy the public wanted badly enough that they didn't get. If people really want Medicaid, I think at some point, whether it's a judge or whether it's an election in 2022 or 2024, they'll get Medicaid expansion, right?
I think that that's a complete waste of taxpayer money. If you already know and you have a nest egg set aside, then just use it. And don't make us go through the court trials and all of this and waste that taxpayer money.
Let me ask you this question.
I don't know if that's fiscally responsible.
I watched in the Senate, there was an amendment offered and it went down. I watched Senator Caleb Rowden make a very brave, he didn't have to take a position at all. He could have just not swung at the pitch, but a very courageous speech and as articulate as Senator Rowden is. I wonder though, I'm sitting up there watching this in the gallery. I get the sense that there'll be no Republican that pays a real electoral price for voting against what was voted on by the public. And maybe part of it is because a lot of their districts didn't vote for it, but I wonder if it's where priorities are. There's just higher priorities to Missouri voters than Medicaid. So while you would think logically there'd be an electoral price, will there be an electoral price for Republicans not expanding Medicaid?
Probably not, because as you said, that's it, most of the vote, because the denser populations who you know tend to care more about communal health voted for it. So, but that's to their you know detriment, because it's the rural hospitals that are the ones that are closing, and it's the rural hospitals who are fighting over rates. You know, right now, like this very moment, about Medicaid patients, making sure that they don't have to drive to Kansas City.
Yeah. Last question. Let's play this out. So Chuck Hatfield and Lowell Pearson go to court. Let's say they win and you have to fund them. You have to fund Medicaid expansion. Does the House then say, okay, we'll fund it? How does this end?
I believe it ends up in court and it rules in favor of funding it. It'll be funded.
Yeah. What do you think? How does this end?
I think it gets funded.
Let's talk about something that is coming to an end, the budget process. Like as we talked about, the House kind of made themselves known. The Senate positions were taken on a lot of things. But I, you know, one thing I thought, and I've always noticed, is about Republicans. Republicans say, don't trust the government. We're for the guy against the government. And then the one office that's created to defend the public against the government, the public defenders, Republicans never funded. This year, they finally given the lawyers they need to maybe defend the public.
No, I think that was a great move. I also think the funding of higher education, in community colleges, we've skipped for years. That's another one that's great. Speaking of Medicaid, you know, a lot of money was put into in-home care, which we, you know, unfortunately have had to neglect because we didn't have the money. I believe in the tune of $50 million. You know, that comes back to where the minimum wage increase, less people were able to take that job to work in in-home care and take care of those people who are disability, and I think that's the right thing to do.
I mean, I did think outside of Medicaid, there was a lot of things in this budget. I mean, you guys had money this year. Yeah. You're always able to be a little more generous when you have money. I thought it's always been an interesting part to me how Republicans talk about don't trust the government. The government does this, and I believe it, but it was never reflected because the office that's actually paid to defend the public was funded about a third of the office that's paid to prosecute the public.
Right.
I think it was a very important thing they did to show those public defenders matter.
And also, again, to stop the other lawsuits that come that are a frivolous waste of taxpayer money.
Yeah.
It's the fiscally responsible thing to do. It's the constitutionally responsible thing to do. I'm so glad they did it.
If Republicans don't want to pay for all the prisons and all the public defenders and prosecutors, maybe don't make so many things illegal. Maybe conservative, right? Outside of that, community college is a big deal. That's
a big deal, especially
urban rural Missouri. I think where you're seeing the jobs created is places where you actually could get that community college degree, maybe more so than anything else.
I have a community college degree. So, Metropolitan. So I think that the community colleges are a great asset to people who can't necessarily access a four-year or don't have the time to access a four-year. And it's a great, you know, direct path to retraining. And especially as the economy is rebuilding, that's a great time to go, you know, learn something new at your local community college and move your family forward.
And maybe even learn it at home on the internet.
And maybe.
Now, at home on the internet is not something that our folks can do because there's no internet. There's no broadband in a lot of parts of rural Missouri. That is something that we had Garrett Hawkins on last week, the head of the Missouri Farm Bureau. Is there a bigger economic development thing you could do for the state of Missouri than to expand rural broadband?
No, I mean, for the rural area, that you're exactly right, Scott. You know, in between my district and Ashley's district, there's a dead spot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Just south of Odessa, it's a huge dead spot. And, you know, I've tried and tried, but there's so few people, the cost of getting just the broadband to them.
Nobody's going to do it but the government.
Exactly.
Whether anybody Republican, whether you're whatever, your Edmund Burke quotes or whatever, there is no one going to provide the internet
and
but the government.
The federal dollars that trickled down last year that Senator Blunt got down to us, it was a drop in the bucket, as we all know.
It's a terrific thing, but the problem is so massive. Mm-hmm. And you go back to like the co-ops, the REA. No one was going to run those electric lines except for the government investing in them. And I think that's paid off dividends for not just the cities, but it's paid off for the whole state.
Well, I think having broadband at home and be able to, whether it's school or the past year, work from home, it's necessary.
Changes your life, changes the whole dynamic of your life to have that internet brought into your home.
Yep.
Let's talk about another things coming up. As we come down, there's education reform. That was sort of what session started talking about, education reform, right?
Right.
It's in to talk about Medicaid, but now the bills have floated. The House passed a bill. The Senate has a huge bill that sits around. What happens on education? Is there an education reform piece that you think would be palatable, at least to try? Maybe do an experiment. I've heard ESAs. I'm not even totally sure exactly what that is, but is there a piece of this that you think would be maybe not as bad as other parts?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the ESAs because it seemed like an issue that some people in the city and a lot of representatives in the rural areas wanted, and then that amendment was thrown on to only test it out on the city folks. So I'm upset about that for the rural people who wanted it. It seemed like a good idea to be able to buy that computer to fix that infrastructure issue with the internet.
I wouldn't dare speak for the good folks in Johnson County, but I've never heard of Twin Rivers Rural, I've never heard East Carter or Redbird, never heard of Neelyville Tiger or Poplar Mule ever ask for a charter school in their life, ever. I've never heard anybody ever say those words.
No.
I think they'd be just as good with all the St. Louis geniuses staying in St. Louis.
Well, and as you said, you know, it's the population is more spread out, so a lot of those school districts have already been consolidated anyway. So they've already figured out how to, you know, move those kids around as necessary and get everybody educated to the best of their ability.
You know, whether you're in West Plains talking to the Zizzers, whether you're in Reynolds County, maybe talking to the Ellington Whippets, I've never heard anybody outside of the Missouri General Assembly say they want a charter school in rural Missouri.
No, absolutely not. You know, won't go in my area. You know, my university, UCM, actually sponsored several charter schools. They've closed a few of them in Kansas City. You know, it would never work in Johnson County. But, you know, definitely want to help out the people who need the help. And if it works, it works. But
when session's over, when they do the final gavel at 6 o'clock Friday night, will people in Butler County have to worry about some genius from St. Louis screwing with their school?
I don't think so.
No, not in Butler County, no.
We're going to have to close the bridge there?
No.
And keep on 67?
They're
keep
not coming
down.
For you guys. That's fine.
Not
you
yet. That's what they always say. Then they end up doing it every time.
Your population density isn't high enough for that to trigger them.
Well, we hope that'll save us again. Representative Ashley Blair, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck the last week of session. Hope you'll come back over the summer when we could be in Kansas City again and talk about that session wrap-up and maybe next session.
I would love to.
Representative Dan Houts, thank you for joining us. I want to shoot for Morrisburg sometime over the summer.
Been
beautiful
waiting.
UCM. Maybe Boise State would be the time to do that.
Perfect. Comes up quick.
Thank you for joining us. And we'll be right back. We have Boot Hill Boys coming on. We have the senators from the Boot Hill. Now, one Greg Racer's from Kansas City, but Jason Bean represents the Boot Hill, but they both have Boot Hill ties. We're going to have a good time talking about all things Boot Hill right after this.
Our new car and truck dealers are building strong local economies. When you buy a car or truck in Missouri, you're helping to support over 20,000 Missouri families who rely on the auto industry for good-paying local jobs. You're also helping fund our communities, schools, first responders, and our roads, because dealers generate millions of dollars in tax revenue. Missouri's automobile dealers have been the foundation of our communities for generations and for generations to come. The Missouri Automobile Dealers Association, the heart of Missouri.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople, while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics. We are joined by two guys who, one represents the Boot Hill, Jason Bean from Peach Orchard. Welcome to the show, sir.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
And the other, Senator Greg Razor, who represents Kansas City but has Cooter, Missouri roots. Tell folks where Cooter is.
Cooter is the most southeastern town in the state of Missouri. It's about a mile north of Arkansas, a mile west of Tennessee.
Now, tell us where Peach Orchard is.
Peach Orchard is kind of right in the middle of the actual Boot Hill.
Yep.
You know, about 15 minutes to Tennessee, about 10 minutes to Arkansas, 25 minutes from Illinois and Kentucky. Right there in the middle.
Yeah, they're way up north.
I'm just on the fringe. You take Missouri's Main Street, Highway 67 down to Pine Bluff, and you make a right and go to an M Highway when you get to Stringtown. I like to call it, you know, the fashionable, probably cultural center of the Boot Hill, maybe.
I don't know. Peach Orchard, I don't know.
Let's talk about Medicaid. So folks voted up to do Medicaid expansion. The House and now the Senate has chosen not to fund the program. There's some technical issues that probably you can hang your hat on. End of the day, how does this end?
Well, I think it's probably going to go to the courts, and we will see how the court rules, and we'll go from there. You know, talking about the Boot Hill, 25th District, pretty much voted Medicaid expansion down, pretty much 2-1. So we watched what the House did, came over, and, you know, it's where we are.
Walk folks through. If you're thinking about this, there are folks, if it went, the magnitude it went down in the Boot Hill, there are folks that would have qualified for Medicaid that voted against it. Do you think they didn't know they qualified? Do you think they just didn't want it? What is that mindset of? Is it just you don't want to go government? You don't think it's worth it?
I think there was some of that, absolutely. But I think we've got to just work through the process. Mm-hmm. I think that one thing that has kind of come out that we need to make light of is through some federal money coming out of Washington, D.C., that people, You know, Medicaid is at 133% of poverty level. Mm-hmm. I think there's some provisions coming out of D.C. that they're going to be at, you can do 150% under SilverCare with Obamacare right now. And I think it's kind of a good point they can be for a couple of years till we get this Medicaid expansion worked out.
So it looks to me like it goes to the courts. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, you've got a Lowell Pearson, Chuck Hatfield, going to represent folks wanting Medicaid expansion. Let's say they win and the court says fund it. You've set aside $500 million. Do you fund it? Do you think there'll be some Republicans in the House that say, no, we're not going down that road? What happens?
Oh, I think if the courts say we fund it, we fund it. Let's be sure that we know who we're talking about when we're talking about Medicaid expansion. There are folks like us in the state that are either wealthy enough to buy private health insurance or work for a company that can provide it. The poorest of the poor in our state already get Medicaid mm-hmm. expansion, or already get Medicaid. The expansion is for that the people caught in that gap that don't make enough money or work for a company that provides health insurance but aren't poor enough to qualify for Medicaid. This is for the clerk at the Casey's General Store who's working 40 hours a week, who might need to go to the doctor like we all do. That's the people that we're trying to expand Medicaid for. This is working folks that deserve to have health insurance.
End of the day, I watched the amendment in the Senate get debated on the budget. I feel like there won't be a political price for Republicans for this.
No.
You span it. Do you feel?
No.
What do you think? And I think it's maybe due to priorities, right? There's just priorities that are higher than Medicaid for voters, although they might support it. It feels to me like at the time, voters supporting it gave Republicans an out. They couldn't be for it, but if the public voted for it, they could go along. I didn't really see it coming where they didn't fund it at the General Assembly. Did you see that coming?
I thought that the Senate would do the right thing and that we would get it in there and hold our position. I was a little surprised, but I think we'll be coming back this fall and we'll take care of it then.
It seems like it's heading that way. Let's talk about something that everybody does. The folks that drove from Kansas City, where they come from the Boot Heel, is highways. The Senate has moved a kind of creative gas tax with a rebate and all kinds of bells and whistles. It's interesting in the House, obviously, that's got some opposition. Do you think that the Senate will hold their ground and say, if you don't move this priority for us, we won't move that priority for you? Or will this be another year where the roads just take a back seat?
I hope this is the year we get it done. We haven't raised the fuel tax in the state of Missouri since 1996, which is the year I graduated from high school. It's been a quarter of a century. We're asking the Department of Transportation to maintain our infrastructure on the same amount of money that we gave them a quarter of a century ago. It's time. Nobody likes paying more fuel tax at the pump, but somebody's got to pay for it. And I think it's a pretty conservative position to say we're going to pay for what we want, and we all want better roads and bridges.
What happens? I mean, obviously there's support for this in the Senate. You guys got it through. Mm-hmm. Do you think your colleagues are willing to tell the House, well, if you can't get our priorities through, then we can't get yours through?
You know, I'm a freshman senator, so Definitely these last 2 weeks have been very interesting to me. And in fact, I was over in the House chamber kind of watching some proceedings yesterday, and people are coming up to me, talk to me about the gas tax, what you think about it. So it's definitely on the radar of everybody. And, you know, I probably wasn't quite there on passing the fuel tax because I'm not into raising taxes. I just don't believe in it. But when that South Carolina model came in, it really made me think. So I think that's going to be a big player, is looking at that refund that you can get into it. And so going back to your question, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of jockeying going on with this and a lot of pressure being put on. I just don't know how much.
Do you think that'll be the priority of the Senate the last week, is getting that done? Or will there be other stuff?
I think it's definitely the President Pro Tem's. It's his bill.
He's really done a good job with this, consistently pushing this.
Right.
I mean, Pro Tem's a tough job. This is one issue he's done a really good job, I think. Nobody could have taken it as far as he has. If he doesn't get it done, he's probably done the best job that anybody could, pushing as far as it's got.
Yeah, he's done a good job. And you know, I sit on the Transportation Committee and watched that bill come through. You know, nobody really came to oppose it. There was 31 people that came to speak in favor of that bill.
Let's talk about education. We'll talk about higher ed first. You know, I have heard somewhere that you might be a supporter of a certain college in Columbia.
I might be, yes.
Even the tie you have on right
even
now.
Even the tie, yeah.
So Mizzou, I felt like, sometimes struggles in the House, but this year when the budget was all said and done, pretty good year for the Tigers.
You know, when it comes to the budget, so for the first time in a long time, 20 some odd years, we've given core increased funding to all of our universities. The University of Missouri system, and remember that when we do the budget, it's for the four campus system. It was a $15 million core increase. $10 million of that is designated to the Next Gen Precision Medical Center, which if people aren't familiar with it, please Google that, because I mean, this has the potential of finding a cure for cancer. I mean, it's
right here in Missouri.
Right here in Missouri. It's fantastic. That leaves $5 million to split between the other four campuses, which is not equal to what every other campus got in the state. So while I think at first glance it appears that Mizzou and the UM system won in the budget, I think we still have a lot of work to do to catch them up to where other schools need to be.
Now, it was an unabashedly good year for community colleges, which you have several in your neck of the woods that folks go to and serve with Southeast Missouri. That is something that I think is very underrated about how big of a role that is. And a lot of the jobs you can get in the Boot Hill really require maybe that community college degree more than a degree you could get at SEMO.
I mean, Three Rivers has done a great job. Dr. Payne, they really done it. They have really, I'm very proud of Three Rivers and what we've done. I'm an MU grad as well. So yeah, to me, the budget was a pretty big win for me. I was happy to see those numbers and very happy with our funding with Mizzou. And like I say, what we've done at Three Rivers as well.
Let's talk about another, move on down a little bit to K through 12. The Senate has sent the House a gas tax proposal. The House has sent the Senate a, I'm not exactly sure all the details of it, but an education reform thing. Folks, I guess, in the House have decided that's their priority. I'm never really sure if the Senate, if they're going to make that theirs or not. Is there a piece of this school reform that you could support or that you find more palatable than other things?
You know, I think what has to happen, and this has become one of those issues, almost like abortion, that you're on one side or the other and never can you compromise. I think we all need to understand that there are some public schools that are struggling. And it might not be the fault of the teachers and the administrators. Perhaps it's the societal issues that are going on around that school. And how can we find ways to help those schools and to help those families and most importantly, help those kids? I'm not sure that giving public dollars to religious schools is going to be the answer. But I am very willing to open up and say, okay, how can we help? How can we make sure that every kid, whether you're in the inner city of Kansas City or you're in Pemiscot County, has the ability to go as far as he or she is able to go? And whether that is, you know, going to Three Rivers, going to Metropolitan Community College, going to SEMO or UCM, going to Mizzou, I want to make sure that our kids can go as far as they possibly can.
So I've just never seen. Now, you've traveled the Boot Hill more than I have. But I have never went and seen a Dexter Bearcat want a charter school. No. Matter of fact, I think they want the St. Louis folks to leave them alone.
I mean, you know, the 25th District, if you look at it, I'm so fortunate. Got some great, great schools. They really do a great job. I mean, from Van Buren to Eminence to Kennett to Holcomb, just really, really good schools in our area. Twin Rivers, you mentioned that earlier.
Well, I'm not a fan of Twin Rivers personally. I'm a Neelyville Tiger, but that's our sworn enemy. But yes, I take your point.
But, you know, I'm fortunate. Now, I do know there are some children that definitely suffer here in the state of Missouri, and I understand that. So I think if we can potentially look at a potential compromise, I know in my district, I hear a lot about transportation funding. We've got some definite problems that a lot of schools are very underfunded on transportation. So maybe if we can somehow come out with a compromise, I think that could
be. Roll the old yellow dog 45 minutes one way from Stringtown to Neelyville every day, back and forth. But at the end of the day, have you ever heard a Malden Green Wave come up and say, I'd sure like a St. Louis Genius to come down here and mess with Malden schools?
No.
At the end of the day, is there going to be a St. Louis Genius come down to Malden and mess with the Green Wave?
You know what? If you don't believe that schools are important to their communities, come to the Boot Hill on a Friday night during basketball season and go in that gym. First of all, you're going to walk in there and it's going to be about 90 degrees because it is packed with people.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, they come out, they support their community. And we've got that all across the Boot Hill. I mean, everywhere. We're very, very fortunate to have that. And no, when you mentioned charter school in the Boot Hill.
They don't know what you're talking about.
No.
They don't want it.
One of the two. So,
well, let's make some predictions here. Give me a piece of legislation that's going to pass that maybe you think be underrated or isn't really at the top of the headlines right now.
I think we're going to get name, image, and likeness, putting the Olympic model into the
NCAA.
Doesn't
that make sense?
It makes total sense.
So what that means is if you ever played Madden on Nintendo or whatever, the players for college are always just their numbers. You kind of know. They would have Brad Smith. I'm old enough that Brad Smith was the Mizzou quarterback when I first started playing college football, mm-hmm. whatever the Madden version of that was. He could run and throw pretty well like Brad Smith, and he had the number of Brad Smith, but didn't say Brad Smith's name. That makes so much sense that you say his name, and Brad Smith should get a cut of that, right?
Well, and also think of it as, I like to use the example of Mary Lou Retton. Yeah. You know, she never got paid to go be a gymnast, but she was able to monetize her fame to get on the Wheaties box. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this does. Now, maybe a player at Mizzou or SEMO never gets on the Wheaties box, but maybe they're advertising for Shakespeare's Pizza. I don't care.
Sure.
I mean, why not make a little money? And I think that's going to get done this year.
It just seems conservative that if you want to make a living somewhere, the government will leave you alone. At the end of the day, I think, though, bigger picture, there's different schools in the SEC that are doing this. And if you're going to be in the SEC, you got to keep up. And if you're Coach Drinkwitz and you're trying to recruit a guy, and one guy can be on the video game if he goes to one school, and the other school, he's going to be 80, his receiver will be 85, that's a competitive disadvantage. Do you think that can get done this year?
I don't know. I'm a little more old school, so I've got to do a little more research on this to get there. But
we're going
to
work on it.
I'm thinking.
So. End of the day, can Mizzou be competitive if other SEC schools are doing this and they don't? Can they compete?
If we don't get this passed ever, no. But why in the world would a kid that's playing in Florida not go to the University of Florida where he can make a little extra money? Why would he come to Mizzou where he can't make anything? Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, these states have already done it. If we don't get it done this year, Coach Drink is not going to be able to recruit for a season or two.
It is always weird to me when Republicans come up with ways to get the government involved in people's lives when they talk all the time about getting government out of people's lives.
Yep.
Get the government out of these kids' lives. Leave them alone.
Absolutely. And in your earlier segment, we finally got public defenders funded, which is a big deal. Another way that finally we're helping out people.
Well, it was a big deal. Vanessa, when you go to that budget, you'd be kind of proud that you are actually keeping your commitment and funding the public defenders, giving folks a fair shot.
Absolutely.
All right. Senator Jason Bean from the Boot Hill down in Peach Orchard. Tell your brother I said hi if you don't mind. Thank you for joining us. Greg Razor, all the way from Cooter to Kansas City, now State Senator, and thank you for joining us. Hope you come back after session. We'll talk a little politics, a little U.S. Senate race.
Yeah.
You know a thing or two about U.S. Senate, U.S. Senate races.
I hope
you come back, and we'll get to chew the fat on that maybe sometime this summer over in Kansas City.
I look forward to it.
Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back next week from the state capitol on This Week in Missouri Politics.
The Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.
Guys, thank you so much for watching the show. I want to tell you about a new thing we're offering. It's the Missouri Times Podcast Network. You'll get this show every week. If you want to listen to it in your car, you don't have time to watch it. You'll get our show in Missouri podcast, History of Missouri, one county at a time. You'll also get our midweek update. Once a week, I throw up the Facebook Live. We talk politics, usually till lunch, and discuss politics. You'll get to hear all those things come right to your phone. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Android, Missouri Times Podcast Network. Please join us and subscribe.